yeah. Welcome to another amazing, exciting, awesome, stupendous, death-defying, action-packed episode of Pro Wrestling Nation. I, of course, am your host, the host of this show, the host of Pro Wrestling Nation. My name is Funky Sam Medina. I am thrilled and excited to bring you Pro Wrestling Nation, a weekly pro wrestling podcast where we discuss news, results, and you never know who is going to stop by our little studio. What's up, people? What's going on? I was absent last week in the world of podcasting. I apologize. I just had a hellacious week. It was crazy. Hellacious. There's a word I learned from wrestling. I had a hellacious week. It was crazy. I don't even want to get into it. I just want to move on. It's a new week. It's a new day. Yes, it is. A new day. New day rocks. Anyways, folks, welcome back. Thank you. It's good to be back. It really, really is. I have this week on the podcast a good friend of the podcast, a friend of mine. He is sporadically of the Greg DeMarco show. He is a former writer for 411mania.com. He branched off from 411 to start his own wrestling website, to do his own articles. And, well, I mean, not his own articles, but you know what I mean, to publish his own stuff on his own website. And apparently, behind the scenes, this man has been in Phoenix, Arizona, putting together a promotion, a wrestling promotion. I'm like, what? Are you serious? A wrestling promotion? He's like, heck yeah. PHX Wrestling. So if you're in Phoenix, if you're in the Phoenix area, check out PHX Wrestling with Greg DeMarco. Greg DeMarco, he's the promoter of this wrestling company, and I'm really excited for him. He's on the podcast this week. We talk about PHX Wrestling. We get into a few WWE topics. We talk about the TNA Evolve Invasion angle. We talk about all sorts of stuff. So it's really fun. It's a really good time with Greg DeMarco. I was excited to have him on the podcast. He's a friend of the podcast. He's been here before, and he'll be here again. So Greg DeMarco, I really hope you enjoy that. Before I get into the Greg DeMarco interview, conversation, I guess, I want to give my little predictions for WWE Extreme Rules coming up on Sunday, folks. Extreme Rules, WWE, May 22nd, 2016. I'm just trying to distract you while I get the card up real quick, because I'm not ready. The sponsor is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. I think that's the movie featuring Sheamus. I'm not 100% sure. In the pre-show match, we're going to see Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin. No disqualifications. No DQ. Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin, no DQ. Well, you see, judging off of Baron Corbin's big loss last month to Dolph, Dolph beat Baron. So the WWE is known, they're famously known for their 50-50 booking. So we're going to have to say Baron Corbin gets the win. Probably a end of days on a chair or something, and he gets the win. Okay. They put this on here backwards, I swear. It's weird because number two is the championship match, which is ridiculous. I don't want that for number two. The New Day, Big E, Kofi Kingston, and or Xavier Woods versus the VOD villains, Aiden English and Simon Gotch, for the WWE Tag Team Championship. You know, as much as I like the VOD villains and stuff, and I think it's cool that they're in the main roster now, the New Day has to win. The New Day has to win, especially because they're making this a racial thing. Because like, back in your day, they weren't very kind to us or whatever, you know, whatever they said, the racial remark. But New Day all the way. New Day is gonna win. They're gonna retain the WWE World. Never mind. Kalisto is off the pre-show. You guys, Ryback quits the company. And Kalisto is off the pre-show. Does that mean that Ryback was holding Kalisto back? when he goes to TNA, they should call him Holdback because he holds people back. They should call him the pre-showstopper. I'm surprised Ryback is not copywriting the pre-showstopper. Kalisto versus Rusev with Lana for Kalisto's WWE United States Championship. Well. I think there's no way Kalisto's going to win. But you know what? Like, Kalisto shouldn't be Ryback. Kalisto, I'm sorry, Kalisto. Like, Ryback should have just grabbed you and broken you in half. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I can believe a big guy versus a small guy, but not the big guy versus the small guy. Like, I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I don't believe this either. Rusev is going to win. Rusev crush. What's going on here? The Miz defends the Intercontinental Championship in a fatal four-way. The Miz, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn. Now, a lot of people are predicting that Sami Zayn's going to win. Because let me just go down that road for a second. If Sami Zayn wins, it gives Kevin Owens a reason to want to fight him. Because at this point, Kevin Owens is like, whatever, I beat you, go away. But also, Kevin Owens wants the Intercontinental Championship back. He really, really wants his title back. And so if Sami Zayn wins, then Kevin Owens could be like, dude, I've beaten you every single time I've been in the ring with you. I beat you for the NXT title. I've beaten you this time. You put the WWE title on the line against me, SummerSlam, ladder match, and I'm going to beat you again. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn go out there, and they have a hell of a ladder match at SummerSlam. Tremendous, awesome, hellacious ladder match at SummerSlam. You could do that, but I like The Miz. I like what The Miz is doing. I was a huge fan of The Miz when he was WWE champion. You know, when he first started going, awesome. But then, like, you know, he kind of got lamer and dumber and just more dumb. His character just got really dumb. And then I'm just like, oh, man, The Miz sucks. Intercontinental champion? He should be WWE champion. Like, The Miz freaking sucks. And I really haven't been behind The Miz. And then this whole, like, movie star, like, dressing like Luke Skywalker, whatever. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. When he came back against Chris Jericho, you know, and that little run he had, I don't like it. But I love this character that he has with Maurice. Like, I love it. Like, before WrestleMania, I did not like The Miz. I did not care for The Miz. But ever since WrestleMania, like, I like this character. I like the chemistry they have. I like what they do. I like the little thing he wears when he comes out to the ring with the little mirrors on it, like kind of Shawn Michaels-esque, old school Shawn Michaels-esque, but like more modern. I like that. I like that a lot, and I like his character. So I want to see, personally, I want to see The Miz retain. I want to see The Miz retain, but then where do you go from there, right? You go back to Cesaro? Do you go to Sami Zayn? Do you go to Kevin Owens? Or do you want Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to still feud? And if they do, how are they going to feud? Why are they going to feud? Kevin Owens is going to want to feud with them. So, you know, I don't know. It can go a million ways. Cesaro could win the title. And then what? Cesaro, Kevin Owens? That could be good. But then what do you do with Sami Zayn? Like, where does Sami Zayn fit in the WWE without a Kevin Owens? I don't know. We'll find out, I guess, right? Okay, what's next? My Wi-Fi has gone out or something. Natalia challenges Charlotte for the WWE Women's Championship. Submission match for the WWE Women's Championship. If Ric Flair disregards his ban from ringside, Charlotte will be stripped of the title. So if Ric Flair even comes out to ringside, Charlotte will be stripped of the title. So far, I have one title changing hands and two titles being retained. This is for the Women's Championship, and I say that Charlotte's going to win. There's no point to giving the belt to Natalya right now. unless she's retiring, and it's like, yay, Natalya, good job. Here's your gold watch. Natalya, if any woman in the WWE deserves a gold watch on the way out the door, it's Natalya. It's Natalya. It really, really is. Like, Trish won the belt on her last match. Lita won the belt on her last match. Why can't Natalya win the belt on her last match? But if she's not going away, if she's going to stick around, it doesn't do the character of Charlotte any favors. Now, what's going to happen in this match, Ric Flair's not going to come out. David Flair might come out. Beth Flair might come out. Reed Flair's not going to. But, like, something. Arn Anderson. What if Arn Anderson comes out? What if the crooked Charles Robinson comes out? CH. Little Nate. CR. Whatever. CH is Chris Hero. What if Chris Hero comes out? Like, what if anybody in the world could come out? Like, Ric Flair's banned from ringside. But, like, what about Tessa Blanchard? Or, you know what's funny is somebody was saying, oh, I hope Tessa Blanchard, you know, teams up with Charlotte. And I'm like, why? Like, what connection do they even possibly have? I'm so stupid. Tully and Rick, Tessa and Charlotte. They probably won't even call her Tessa Blanchard, though. They probably call her, like, Stephanie or something. Like, oh, right, Charlotte and Stephanie are a tag team now. Like, it's ridiculous. The names they come up with are ridiculous. Charlotte from the Queen City. Like, because she can't be Charlotte from Charlotte, can she? That'd be ridiculous. Why can't she just be Ashley Flair? Or even Charlotte Flair or something. It's just ridiculous. Charlotte retains with the help of Stephanie, a.k.a. Tessa Blanchard. The Usos, Jimmy and Jay versus The Club. I hate that name, by the way, The Club. It's awful. It's really bad. Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows, The Club. It's keeping your car safe. Tornado tag team match. I did not know that. Well, the club's going to win, right? The club. Because they want to make them look strong. Because they have AJ's back. And if they're weenies and they're losing to the Usos every week, it doesn't matter if they have AJ's back because they're just going to get their butts kicked. So the club. The club, the club, the club, the club. Chris Jericho versus Dean Ambrose in the first ever Asylum match in TNA history. I mean, what? The TNA Asylum? Lethal Lockdown? Clockwork House of Fun match? This is interesting, though. Dean Ambrose versus Chris Jericho in the first ever Asylum match. What is an Asylum match, you ask? Well, let's click on it on Wikipedia and find out. An Asylum match is a WCW match created by Scott Steiner, held within a small chain-link cage in the shape of a circle placed in the middle of the ring. Victory occurs only by submission. In 2016, May 16, 2016, a variation to the steel cage match called an Asylum match was introduced and scheduled between Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho at Extreme Rules, where weapons are suspended above the cage and escaping the cage is not a means of victory, leaving only pinfall or submission. List of Asylum matches in WCW. I don't remember this. Rick Steiner versus Scott Steiner, Monday Nitro, May 22nd, 2000. Wow. And the pay-per-view, Extreme Rules, is on May 22nd. And the first ever Asylum match between Rick Steiner and Scott Steiner was on May 22nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Scott Steiner versus Medeja and Shakira versus Shane Douglas on May 29th, 2000. Scott Steiner and Medeja with Medeja and Shakira versus Rick Steiner and Tank Abbott at the Great American Bash 2000, June 11th. And Dean Ambrose versus Chris Jericho, Extreme Rules, May 22nd, 2016, Newark, New Jersey. This is interesting. I don't really know who's going to win. I say Dean Ambrose. I say Dean Ambrose is going to win. Because Dean Ambrose needs the victory a lot more than Chris Jericho does. That's for damn sure. What else am I missing here? That's it. Main event time. Roman Reigns, WWE Heavyweight Champion, puts his title on the line against the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, in an Extreme Rules match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I think I said that twice. Now, as Steve Gerwig said on the Gerwig Report podcast, and I didn't mention them yet, but go listen to the Gerwig Report this week with Teddy Long, Holla Holla, Teddy Long, Playa Playa. They talk about this stuff. And Steve Gerwig canceled his network subscription, and he said, why? Why do I care about this match if I think that AJ has no chance of winning? If I already know the results, why do I care? If they would have built it up better, if I would have thought AJ could win, maybe I'd care. But unfortunately, AJ has no chance of winning. And I kind of agree with him on this one, because AJ has no chance of winning. You know what I mean? Like, it's true, he does. He has zero chance of winning in this match. So, Roman Reigns, LOL. All right, guys, I'm going to go to my interview now with Greg DeMarco, since those are my extreme rules. I like how I just said it, just Roman wins, LOL. That was my like climax of the whole thing. Just, it all comes down to that. Roman wins, LOL. But I got to get going. I got to get out of here soon. Greg DeMarco will be here for you in just a second. Peace out, everybody. Please welcome my guest this week. He is a friend to the show. He is a wrestling journalist, become wrestling promoter. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg DeMarco. How you doing, Greg?
Doing very well. Very excited to be here. Super excited to talk about the world of wrestling, some PHX wrestling too. And I'm really glad you invited me back, so thank you.
No problem, man. I'm glad to have you back. I've been wanting to have you back. It's just, it's never really happened. I had you on like a year ago. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think it was three. I think it was me, you, and somebody else. And I wanted to get you back one-on-one, but finally we're here. So welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Are you still, before we get into the promotion, are you still doing the journalist stuff and writing the articles and stuff like that?
I do. It's somewhat time-dependent for me. Between work and my regular job, moved locations, causing me to have a much longer commute. You know, I got two kids that keep me busy, and now the promotion. So it's tough to get in there and do it. I'm still running a site on the back end, but it's more work for me on the back end than I'm actually able to do on the front end. And
oh,
I want
yeah.
to, but haven't really been able to.
Because I was going to say, last I remember of you, because I try to keep track of you sometimes on Facebook. You were running a wrestling website. Like, you were doing, I think you were on 411 for a while, and then you kind of branched off to do your own thing. So, what's your wrestling website? Tell me about it real quick.
Yep. ProWrestling.biz is the site that myself and a couple other people run together. It's more based on opinions, reviews, predictions, things of that nature. We do have a daily news report that will give people their fill of wrestling news, but you're not going to get the constant news flow coming out of there. We tried that, and it was really like a dog chasing its tail. We just could not do it effectively, and so unfortunately had to move away from it. But it's been a lot of fun. Still really in the growing stages. Only a few months old, so we continue to work on it, push it, and see what we can do to make it better. You know, everyone really is working on it as a hobby, as a side thing, and so we work on it as we can, and really doing a lot of things to try to make it better.
Yeah, it's really hard to like be breaking news and stuff, because stuff's always happening, and you know, it's crazy out there.
Yeah, it's just, you know, wrestling is constantly going. Some days there's a ton of news, some days there's a little bit of news, so it's really hard to try to keep up when you're at work or find somebody who's available during the day, you know, in this day and age. So we're working on it. We've got some people out there who are talking about coming on board, and definitely not giving up on it yet, just waiting for the right time and the right opportunity to take it to the next level.
So you talk about being really busy and, you know, the website taking up a lot of your time and stuff, and then the commute to work and the kids and whatnot. How do you find time to just put this promotion into works? Like, how did you just go about in the beginning?
It's something that I've wanted to do for a really long time. Honestly, it goes back to when I was a kid. You know, it is a funny story that I tell. I literally did a project in the sixth grade where the project was budgeting, and the budget I built was for a wrestling show. I've always been interested in the business end of the wrestling business, and have been involved in different levels with some different promotions. Once was lucky enough to run a few cards with Ring of Honor when they were out here in Phoenix, and learned a lot there. It's just a matter of what opportunities present themselves and one did with this, and finally was able to make that plunge, and very excited to make something happen with PHX Wrestling. So we've been working on it in the background for a good 6 months now, and then a little over a month ago, finally went public with it. After, you know, a lot of stuff done in the background, lining up talent, lining up venue, all those things were taken care of before we ever even made the first public acknowledgement of the promotion. And then we've been rolling ever since.
Wow. I bet it was a lot of like red tape and a lot of just BS and a lot of headaches going into this.
It's funny because there's a lot of things that you don't know are going to happen. I mean, even when I've been involved with promotions before, when you're not the number one person, it's just a big challenge. So for me, going through and making all those contacts and doing the back and forth negotiation, showing up for meetings or not having people at meetings, you know, it's one thing after another. But we're through a lot of that now, and it's really just getting ready for August 19th.
What was your in the past, you were with other promotions. What did you do for other promotions?
I've really had a chance to do a little bit of everything. When I worked for Ring of Honor, and this was for WrestleMania 26, when WrestleMania came out here to Phoenix, Arizona, I basically did everything but book the show. I got all the logistics, the venue.
I think you should have been booking the show, too.
Back then, it wasn't bad. Pierce was still there. Well, it was the better part of Pierce's run, too. Both shows are really good. In fact, I recently went back and read some online reviews of them, and it's funny to read them and see what people thought about them then. You know, I read them seeing if anybody's complaining about the spotlight. They also ended up running the spotlight for those shows because they didn't have anybody. And I learned so much, but I did the venue. I mean, Ring, basically, they brought in the talent, the booking, they set up stuff, they sold their tickets, and everything that was here locally, I did. And it's just, you know, little things like getting lights and setting up lights for a wrestling show that you don't realize how important they are and how challenging they can be sometimes as you're going back and forth. So I learned a ton in that experience, and unfortunately the people that I worked with at the time with Ring of Honor are pretty much not there anymore because of so many changes. This is before they were bought out, so it was a different experience there. But it just learned a lot there. Other organizations, I mean, a lot of the Arizona indie scene, done everything on stage from ring announcing to managing to doing interviews to being kind of a heel authority figurehead, so to speak. And then backstage, I did everything from booking to coordination to setting up some future things to dealing with venues, just a whole lot of different things. I've done everything involved in putting on a wrestling show, just not all at once like I am now.
Yeah, I bet. You talk about how lights are really important. I went to WrestleCon, not this year, but the year before when it was here in San Jose. And we had front row tickets to the Super Show in the evening time. And there was a spotlight that was directly in our faces. It was like the whole night. It was really bad. We had fans in our section chanting, "Turn that light off." And eventually the light got turned off, and it was very, very more pleasant after that. But
I'm surprised they turned it off, to be honest with you. I remember I went to Bound for Glory when it was here in Phoenix, and we literally had some lights because they would light the crowd that were shining right at us the whole show, and then that never changed. It's just, you know, unfortunately, the presentation of the show has to come first, and sometimes that means the light might be shining where somebody doesn't want it to. So you're lucky that they turned it off.
I don't know if WrestleCon's recording the show, but you know, TNA was probably definitely doing a pay-per-view. So that might be a little bit different there because they have to look good on pay-per-view.
True.
They gotta look Bush League, you know?
Yeah.
Just kidding. I went to Bound for Glory, too. What was the main event of your Bound for Glory?
Main event of my Bound for Glory.
Oh, was it AJ Bubba? No, that was San Diego.
No, that was after. The main event of my Bound for Glory, and I think that one was 2010 as well, that was Austin Aries and Jeff Hardy.
Wow, yep. That's crazy. The one I went to was AJ Styles versus Sting.
Huh, okay. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I still remember looking back. I don't think that TNA thought anybody would know who Austin Aries was because, you know, they're stupid. And as we're watching the show, like right before the pay-per-view goes on the air, they come out and have Austin Aries do a promo. And as soon as his music hits, the crowd goes crazy. And they're going nuts, and they're chanting his name, and he's trying to be the heel. And cuts kind of this half heel, half wearing this together promo, and the crowd was pro-Aries. And even during the match, it was almost a 50-50 split, which is pretty impressive given the following that Jeff Hardy has. But I just don't think that TNA thought coming out to Arizona – Austin Aries would get the reaction that he was, but, you know, for Bound for Glory on the West Coast, it was pretty much a smart crowd.
Yeah, definitely. It's a pretty good crowd out here. I like the West Coast wrestling scene, especially here in California. We have, some nice indies and stuff. So, So let's get back to PHX. PHX, right?
Yes. Sir.
What is the acronym stand for?
It's really just short for Phoenix, obviously, which is where we're running.
Okay.
But we're just going to be calling it PHX. So it doesn't really stand for anything. There's not a P, an H, and an X, so to speak. But when people are referring to it, they will refer to it. Like if you hear a promo where someone refers to Phoenix Wrestling, you probably won't hear that promo because I'll probably make them tape it over. hopefully that doesn't happen live. I'll be driving that point home pretty well. But it does play off of our location, but that is sort of the call letters of the organization being PHX. Don't know even what made me decide to do that and what made us go with that moniker, but that's what we went with.
So you're taking the WWE route. It doesn't stand for anything. It's just PHX.
Right. At this point, yeah. I mean, it's not on purpose, but it's sort of how it worked out.
Yeah, those are pretty different initials as far as in wrestling goes. You know, there's no W, there's no F, there's no E. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. I like that.
Yeah, and wrestling is still part of the name, so it's still PHX Wrestling.
Okay.
When people refer to it, yeah, they will call it PHX. Everything I've seen posted online, when people react to our announcements or send me messages, they use the full name, PHX Wrestling. Very few have I seen refer to it as PHX outside of the stuff that we put out. I think that'll change once we start running. You know, for right now, they can call it whatever they want as long as they're coming to the right show.
So you said your first show's on August 19th?
Yes, August 19th. We're going to be at the Arizona Event Center in Mesa, Arizona, which is a suburb just to the west of Phoenix. Great building. I've been there for wrestling before. The guys who run the building are longtime wrestling fans and very excited to bring it to that building. It's very, the only closest thing you can describe it to is somewhat of the ECW arena, kind of a large warehouse type thing. They hold concerts there, MMA, boxing. It does have a bar, which I'm very excited about, multiple bars actually, and we'll put on a good show. Sound and lighting is going to be great in there, plenty of room, plenty of space, staging for entryways. It allows us to do what we want to do somewhat economically, which is important.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I was looking at the PHX Wrestling Facebook page this morning.
Yep.
And you're announcing some pretty big indie names there. I'm pretty excited for you there.
Yeah, we've got some great people. They've been really great to work with, and excited to bring some different folks in that this area hasn't seen, and that's important to me. There's some staples of the area that you really have to book, quote unquote, locally, and I'm happy to book because they're all great. But at the same time, I want people to have a reason to come to our show that's different from the others. I still want them to go to the other shows because I want the scene overall in Phoenix to do well. Because when they do well, we do well. And when we do well, they do well. But at the same time, you know, I want people to see something different too.
Yeah. You're not far from California. You're not far from Las Vegas, and the indie scenes are pretty strong in those areas. So I'm sure you're going to get a lot of good people out there.
And that's some of the theory behind what we're doing. You know, Phoenix is the sixth largest market in the country, and if you look at all the ones that are above us, New York, L.A., Chicago, Houston, Philadelphia, all have a good independent wrestling area. We don't necessarily think of Houston, but if you actually take a look and do some research, there's a ton of companies running in Houston right now that all draw really well. So, you know, for us working in Phoenix, our goal is to get this area to be just as big as the five that are above us.
You know, I don't really know much about the Houston scene. I do know Booker T runs out there.
Yep.
But I don't know much else about it.
There's Booker T, NWA Houston runs there. There's a couple other promotions that run too, and they're doing well. Whereas here, you've got one American style wrestling promotion, which does a very good job. There's a wrestling federation. And then you've got a bunch of Lucha Libre promotions. And then one that kind of was Lucha Libre that's sort of venturing over into that American style. And that's really it. And to me, I think there's room for more. And I did a lot of research. I mean, we didn't just go into this, you know, blind, so to speak. I talked to a lot of different people, and everyone I talked to here locally or who knows the area all said the same thing, that we can definitely sustain another independent wrestling promotion at a high level.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I'm looking here. You have the Ultra Girl, Brittany Wonder. She is a staple of the area. She's a Hood Slam wrestler, and she's awesome. So I'm glad that you have her.
Yeah, she's up where you are, and
yeah, she's out of my area.
To bring her down. She's a great person. Dealing with her has been outstanding. She's super excited about what we're doing. She's a big part of our plans, and should be really good for her. She's got a following here locally too, that I'm very excited about, and it's going to be good for her to work down here as well, and that's important to me. So she's a big part of what we're doing.
Another name that I noticed on your roster is a guy who I've been following because I feel like he's going to be in WWE one day, and that's the Tall Man, Kevin Cross, and I'm really excited for you to have him.
Kevin, I had a chance to interview Kevin back in December for, right now when I do the Greg DeMarco show, it's very sporadic, and was super impressed with the guy, and had kind of been following along just because of a Facebook friendship, and as I began to work on this, he was really always in the cards for me, and then dealing with him, interacting with him, he's been gung-ho from the start, since the moment that I asked him about it, and he's a really talented guy. I agree with you. I can't imagine there's a couple people on the roster, but I can't imagine how they won't end up on WWE television someday, and he's one of them. The guy's so talented, and you would look at him and think he's athletically gifted, but that's a lot of hard work. He wasn't always in that great of a shape, and he wasn't always this amazing athlete, but when he latched onto something that took him, quote-unquote, to the next level mentally and motivationally, he really took off and flourished, and that's why you're seeing him now. And I'm excited that we have the potential to use him on all of our shows.
And it's pretty cool, too, because you have this, you do this thing, this federation, and you also have your website, so they can kind of, what's the word? They could just kind of help each other, you know? They could raise each other's prestige a little bit, and you could promote the website with the company. You can promote the company on the website.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
There's definitely some of that. I mean, the website's not necessarily to the level yet where it can really help support the promotion, but there's been a lot of good partners out there on social media that are allowing me to share and promote and really get the word out. And as the names come out, people get excited. And they get excited about the locals, who they can see everywhere. They're still excited to know that they're going to be in the PHX. And then they get excited about the out-of-town talent who's coming in that they don't get to see everywhere. So it's really been a great mix.
Yeah, no, that's amazing, because they get to see the local favorites and they get to see the big names coming in from out of town, definitely coming down from Vegas and whatnot.
Yep. Yeah, we got Vegas, we got people coming in from Austin, Texas, El Paso, SoCal, and Northern California. So we've got plus here in Phoenix. So you're looking at six different regions going to be represented on a regular basis in PHX Wrestling, and I'm sure we'll branch out from there too. But that's what we're starting with.
Well, imagine that, six different regions. And you're just like the tiniest wrestling federation. And a couple of years, you're going to get bigger and you're going to get bigger. And, you know, you can potentially get people from all over the world, at least, you know, different parts of the United States.
Yeah, I would love to. I have, you know, thanks to running a successful radio show and dealing with people the right way, I've got people all over the United States and even beyond that want to be a part of it. And it's you know, you have to have that conversation about whether or not you're flying people out right now and why you can't use them. But when we're able to open that up, and as we grow, and I fully expect us to be able to grow to that level in the first couple years, there's going to be a lot of talent at our disposal just because of prior relationships that can really work, and we'll be able to put things together and make it work for both sides and bring in some people that the fans are going to enjoy seeing. And it's going to allow us to tell some great stories and allow the fans to be taken on a really good ride. And that's what it's all about in the end. If we can't make the fans happy, then we're not going to be in business very long.
Yeah, no doubt. I didn't even think of that, though. You've been running the Greg DeMarco show for years, kind of off and on.
Yeah.
And I bet you have made a lot of contacts and a lot of friends in the wrestling business.
Yeah, I was just talking to one this morning who recently was fortunate enough, and not really fortunate enough, but finally got recognized to the point where they can work for TNA, and just very excited about what they're doing. And of course, with TNA situation right now, a lot of people are still working on the indies, and our conversation included, you know, a little bit about how, you know, whether it's a year from now, whether it's 6 months from now, whether it's 18 months from now, I plan to bring you out here. And that person is super excited and is like, the moment you say it, I'm there. And you know, we're going to make that happen for more than one person. It just takes time. You know, I'd love to be able to fly people out right now, but it's not a smart thing to do from day one.
No, definitely not. Like you said, you got to do the best show you can at the lowest cost you can just to get this thing off the ground.
Yeah, I mean, you invest, you know, it's not going to be cheap by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no.
But you got to pick where you invest and what you invest in and things that are going to give you a return long term that allow you to invest in other things. And that's really what we're doing. We're picking and choosing what we invest in and how we invest in it, being as smart as we can so that we're in an even better position in the future.
I was talking to this guy yesterday, actually. He's a local California indie wrestler, and he ran a couple shows. He owns a ring, and he was telling me, you know, renting a truck, renting a venue, getting talent, all this other things. He's in the hole, like, you know, $1,000, $1,500
right.
before the show even begins. And
oh, yeah.
So something like that is just a huge venture. And, you know, I definitely wish you the best because it's really hard.
Yeah.
And
it's not free.
No, definitely not. Yeah. So, I mean, once you get this ball rolling, man, I really wish good things for you.
Yeah, not at all. And no, I appreciate it. You know, we've put a lot into it, and I'm really excited about the talent we have on board, those who've been announced, and even more to come to be announced.
I'm excited
even
to see
your area. And,
yeah, I'm excited to see who you announce. You know, I'm going to keep track of that, definitely.
Yeah, and they're excited to come down. Everyone has been so great to work with, and it hasn't been perfect, obviously. You know, there's people that we've talked to that didn't work out that no one will really ever know about, and that's okay. And maybe in the future it works out for those people with us. I don't close the door on anything. That's one thing you learn about the world of professional wrestling is you just never say never, you know, and it really trickles down. I mean, we've seen people get screwed over by the WWE or screw the WWE. And you think you're never going to see that person there, and sure enough, there they are. I mean, you know, AJ Styles is a prime example of that. Well, he never screwed anybody in the WWE or did anything negative to the WWE. He was, you know, Mr. TNA for years. And the fact that he's main eventing WWE pay-per-views, you know, a year ago, we never, ever, ever thought we'd see that. So you really can never say never in this business.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like, it's funny because people online – I see him complaining, oh, AJ Styles is being buried. Oh, AJ Styles is being booked this and this and this. And I'm like, you know what? Count your lucky stars, he's there.
Yeah.
Because he was a guy that for years and years we would think he would never be there. And
the same thing
with Luke Gallows. You know, he was a guy that they kind of chewed up and spit out years ago.
Right.
And you wouldn't see that kind of guy coming back. And there he is, you know, on TV in the main event picture.
Yeah, and they don't even, like, bring up his past characters and the things that he did
no.
and use that against him. Yet, wait till John Cena comes back and phases across the ring with him. I guarantee you he'll make a Festus reference because that's what he does, and only half the crowd will get it because they weren't watching back then. But at the same time, you know, it's what they're doing is impressive, and I think, you know, they're actually an example of a Japan act that I don't think is working out as well as the WWE had hoped, because what they do hasn't necessarily translated to the WWE crowd. But they're playing their role. They're playing it well, and they've got some great people to work with, especially with AJ Styles. So
let me ask you a controversial question about your promotion.
Sure.
Are you into the intergender, or are you into the women's division wrestling?
So
I noticed you have about two or three women announced,
uh-huh.
and so you could build a division around that.
I can tell you that we are going to have a women's championship with the promotion. It will be crowned early on into our existence, possibly as early as the first show. I won't go into too much detail outside of that. But
Come on, who's going to win? I'm just kidding.
But we do have four women announced right now, and there are more to come. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not afraid to put anyone across the ring from anyone. And by and large, the talent is not afraid of it either. I've got some old school people involved in the promotion who may not love that idea, may not be 100% on board with that idea. But I have good relationships with them. They trust me and I trust them. And at the end of the day, I'm going to do what I think is best for our business and for me and my business partners, what we think is going to work best. And I'm really not putting any limitations upon men or women in the promotion. I think our first main event is going to be surprising to some people when we announce it, probably here in the next month or so. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to lead to a lot of fun things as well. So the talent involved is very excited about it, and I'm very excited about it as well. We're going to do something different, but something that people are going to really enjoy in the long run.
How do you feel about WWE basically telling independent women wrestlers, if you want to get signed, stop wrestling men?
I mean, it's just hard because they don't want someone Googling and finding something out there that's you know they don't want to sign Candice LeRae and then find her suplexing Joey Ryan by his balls. They don't.
Yeah, or they don't want to find the Chris Dickinson and Kimberly thing.
You know, Kimberly getting tossed across the ring, and I didn't like that angle personally, just because of the dangerous nature of it. And even though I know both people signed off on it, had no problem with it. I just personally didn't like it. But at the same time, I think that was a reaction they wanted me to have as a promotion. So it worked. What they did worked 100%. But
oh, yeah.
Intergender
viral.
Days, yeah, exactly. And it was huge for all parties involved. The person who benefited the most was Kimberly. Chris Dickinson, I don't think, is any higher profile now than he was back then. I don't think Beyond Wrestling is either. But Kimberly is. You know, she's been in Rolling Stone, and she's gotten all
kinds of people.
So
I didn't even know that. And, yeah, she got a lot of sympathies just from the world.
She did.
In the wrestling world.
She did well. So I think that, you know, the WWE telling people to turn away from it, you know, it is what it is. I love there was a quote from Joey Ryan. I don't know if it was 6 months ago, a year ago, and he put it on Twitter. And basically he said that he was dumbfounded about the fact that people cannot buy into and find intergender wrestling believable, but they can fully buy into somebody being thrown at the wrestling ropes, purposely turning, bouncing off the ropes, and running back into a super kick, and yet have no problem with that. So people really pick and choose their suspension of disbelief, and in a lot of ways really just take away some opportunities for themselves to really enjoy something.
Yeah, and I feel like Lucha Underground, some of the best matches are the intergender matches.
Oh, yeah, I love Taya, first of all, Taya Valkyrie.
I love Sexy Star.
Sexy Star, too, but when Taya came out and literally went head-to-head with Cage, Brian Cage, I just absolutely loved what she did. And she's become one of my favorite people to see, favorite people to watch. And so, for me, it's all because of the interaction that she had with Cage on Lucha Underground. So I really cannot buy into that not being believable, that not being something that people can do or that can sell, because I think it's been proven to be wrong. And look at what the WWE is doing now with women versus what they would have done with women 3, 4, 5 years ago. I think they'll come around on this issue, too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because a few years ago, they had women just for eye candy.
Yeah.
And now they're the best, some of the best wrestling in the world, like Sasha versus Bayley. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, and you wouldn't think that they were going to be able to put on, you know, 3 women's matches during an episode of Raw. And they do from time to time. And they've been able to put on some amazing stuff. And so I really don't think that anyone sort of putting it down, the sky's the limit. You know, writing about wrestling on the internet, I've written more than one column about the Divas Revolution, and when everyone was crapping all over the Divas Revolution, I was pointing out ways that it was working. And now, no one will admit it, but the Divas Revolution is why we have the Women's Championship, why we had such a great match between Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch, and why the women have now been in the main event segment of Raw more than once in 2016.
Well, yeah, they have been. Yeah, you're right, though. I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, women's wrestling has come a long way in the WWE.
Yeah, and just because it didn't happen overnight. And that's what everyone on the internet, they hear, okay, Divas Revolution, that means this coming Monday on Raw, it all changes. And it rarely yeah. ever happens that way. And when it does, we complain that they want a slow burn. So we don't know what we want, which is part of the problem. But if you really take a look back and take a look back in a way that's objective and not sort of your own filter, which is really hard for us to do as humans, people will see that women's wrestling in general has come a long way, and then the WWE has come a really long way.
Yeah, no, it definitely has. I feel like Triple H having a little more say helps out a lot.
Oh yeah, I think it really does. You know, I think that it's people were slow to give him credit, and now they love everything he does. And it's real easy to make the argument that all he did was steal everything from the indies, and that he hasn't done a whole lot of great. And it's real easy to give him all the credit in the world. And the truth probably falls somewhere in the middle. But for me, I've enjoyed 100% what he's done, and I think that I think that he's going to be a good thing for the WWE in the long run, just as long as he's given that opportunity. And that's always the biggest challenge of them all, is someone being given an opportunity. You know, we had an opportunity probably in February, I'm trying to remember when it was, to interview Christopher Daniels, and a lot of his answers went back to being given an opportunity. And maximizing the opportunity that you're given. And we talked about a guy like Kazarian, and he thinks the world of Kazarian, and thinks Kazarian could have been TNA World Heavyweight Champion, but was never given the opportunity. And so a lot of it does come down to opportunity, and we got to see if Triple H is ever really given the opportunity to take the WWE and run with it.
You mentioned that he's getting a lot of criticism about stealing from the indies, but, I mean, one can argue that that's basically what Vince McMahon did in the 80s, you know, the different territories. He just went around and handpicked the best talent and built the company off of it.
And people are going to hate this comment. That's what they're there for, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, the indies can be a sustainable business and is a sustainable business. And you look at guys like the Young Bucks who were able to be full-time independent professional wrestlers and travel the world. And it's great that independent wrestling, and a lot of it's thanks to the internet and social media, can be that. But for 95% of the guys you see in your local indie show, that the WWE is still their ultimate goal. The WWE is still what they want to get to, and that's why they're there. And they wouldn't be in the indies if it weren't for the WWE. Most of the independent promotions you see wouldn't be there if it weren't for the WWE. You know, we always talk about WrestleMania weekend, and people think the WWE is trying to block the indies and this and that. There wouldn't be a WrestleMania weekend for the indies to compete on and perform on and make money on if it wasn't for the WWE and WrestleMania. And really, a good friend of mine, and also involved in, you know, wrestling for PHX Wrestling, Dom Vitale, every year brings it up at WrestleMania. Really, as WrestleMania goes, so does independent wrestling. That's really how it all trickles down from the top. So you're 100% right. That's how it's always worked. But I think people like to make that argument for Triple H, but also on the flip side, are willing to give him 100% credit. And like I said, it probably falls somewhere in between. He's had a little bit of an easy road because the WWE hadn't stolen from the indies as much before he got there as they are now. They kind of went through a period where they didn't do that so much. But he also created NXT. He created the place for them to work, the place for them to perform, as well as that performance center. I mean, that is hands down one of the best sports venues in the entire, you know, continent of North America, not just wrestling venues. It's easily the best wrestling training venue by far. But professional sports teams go out there and check it out and see what they do so they can apply it back to themselves. Think a decade ago, no professional sports team would have tried to take advice from the WWE.
No, definitely not. I also wanted to ask you, have you seen this big Evolve storyline involving Drew Galloway and Ethan Carter?
I have. I don't know what to think about it yet, to be honest with you. It's I'm really 50-50 on it. It is, you know, trademark Gabe Sapolsky trying to toe the line between real and, you know, truth and fiction. And he's done it very well. He did it very well with Ring of Honor. He's done it well with Evolve. I just don't know if he's going to get the bang for his buck, so to speak, with what he's trying to do. And I know just from watching it, I'm not fully into it. I don't even know that I find it believable. We're all smart enough to know that Ethan Carter III and Drew Galloway are not going to declare war on the WWE, are not going to show up in NXT, are not going to be wrestling, you know, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, or Finn Balor anytime soon. So it's great for them. If it brings them more business, if it's a profitable endeavor for them, wonderful. I hope the best for it. Not really my thing, though, as I sit back and take a look at it from afar.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the promo, that EC3 cut. But you're right, though. They're not going to show up on NXT anytime soon. Maybe one day, but right now they're both committed to TNA, and I don't think a WWE guy is going to be in TNA at the same time.
No, and I honestly think that Evolve did it just for the shock value of there's TNA guys that are crapping on WWE in Evolve, which has a relationship with WWE. Like, I think it was just purely for shock value, for shock, you know, that shock factor. And hey, I hope it worked. I hope every booking idea works. I don't know if we'll ever know whether it fully worked, but, you know, if so, great. Part of me hopes that it only worked to a small extent. You know, I hope that it worked enough for them to be profitable about it, but didn't, you know, wasn't a home run that they were hoping for, so I don't have to keep seeing things like that.
Okay, there you go. So PHX Wrestling, do you have anybody working with you behind the scenes that people may have heard of?
Behind the scenes, not really that I can talk about, so to speak, in terms of revealing any names. There is some of the talent are going to be involved behind the scenes. Some of the more veteran talent will be working in the locker room as a quote-unquote agent. I think that agent perspective where you have a veteran helping you plan out your match, making sure that, you know, you're not going to see, you know, 2 30-count suplexes on the same card, or, you know, 3 different matches where 20 super kicks are thrown. That there's just, you know, you don't want to do the same thing over and over again. And so I think that veteran influence from guys like Gabriel Gallo and the Hawaiian Lion, and a gentleman out of El Paso by the name of Randy Terrez, who many haven't heard of, but he's a 15-year veteran that spent a lot of years in OVW. You know, I think that veteran influence is really good from behind the scenes. And I've got some local people that I have a good relationship with that have played a lot of different roles. A guy who's a veteran of the indie scene in many different capacities, who's sort of done it all, is going to be my showrunner and run the show for me in a role that he hasn't played before, but he's done every aspect of that role. So it's more people I trust, but it's not a name that would shock anybody. No name that would surprise anybody. Be like, oh, they're involved in the background. That really doesn't exist. It's a lot of people that I trust and have good relationships with that are contributing, at all different levels.
Well, I guess that's the best you can do, really. I mean, people who you know that you can fill in those positions and they'll do good for you.
Yeah. When I talked to this person about running the show, he was, you know, honored number one and surprised number two, and the number one factor in it was trust. I know I can trust you to do this. So,
yeah. So August 19th, mm-hmm. PHX Rise, your very first show. Any other information you want to give us about the promotion?
No, just make sure they can go to phxwrestling.com, PHXWrestlingAZ on Facebook, because there's a PHX Wrestling account that already existed that isn't even really to do with this area or anything. It's been dormant for 3 years, but I still can't have it. Facebook won't let me. So, but if they just search for PHX Wrestling, that'll come as well. Or at PHX Wrestling on Twitter. I'm going to be opening up the Instagram account soon. But really, following along, Facebook is still the highest level of engagement when it comes to social media. So it is sort of where everything starts. We're still growing the Twitter following, and really just continue to follow along as we get to August 19th, because even if you already follow wrestling in Arizona, you'll be able to continue to follow what you follow, take on something new, and have a really good time. And I think people are really going to like what we put out.
Awesome, man. Well, congratulations. That's awesome. And I'm looking forward to following along and seeing how you guys progress.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you giving me the airtime and allowing your following to get along with it. And I'm excited to see where it goes for everybody.
Cool, Greg. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bada boom. Realest guys in the room, how you doing? Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. I am your host, Funky San Medina. I am going to make this short and sweet and get out of here pretty quick. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at PWN Podcast or at Funky San Medina. Follow, check out the show every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod, the TuneIn Radio app, the new Android app, even though I don't really know how to use it very well, but I'm sure it's on there somewhere because I know I got approved for it. RedDragonsRadio.com, and of course, Gerwick.net. I plugged them earlier. GERWECK.net, your number one source for pro wrestling news since 1997. And go check out the Gerwick.net YouTube channel. Go on YouTube, search in Gurik and look at their YouTube channel, because they have clips, they have all kinds of cool stuff on there. You're going to want to see it. Hit the subscribe button. Gurik.net on YouTube, Gurik.net website, Gurik.net on podcasts. I know I talk about this all the time, but if you haven't checked out Gurik.net, the Gurik Report podcast, it's really cool because it's three guys. It's Frank D, who's awesome. It's Steve Gurik, who I'm really like, you know, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I'm really starting to like, I should have, you know, liked it a long time ago, but I'm really starting to like Steve Gurik's personality. Like, he's getting so comfortable with Teddy Long. Teddy Long's the third guy. Steve Gurik's getting so comfortable with Teddy Long, and he's just, his personality is shining out like through and through. And I really enjoy listening to the Gurik Report podcast. He's come a long way, you know, since I've been listening and stuff. And so that's a good one. So go check it out. Gurik Report podcast with Teddy Long every single week. Teddy Long this week, Teddy Long gives his thoughts on the Brooklyn Brawler, on the other releases, on a few other things. And it's really good stuff. So go check out Holla Holla Playa Playa Teddy Long on the Gurik.net podcast, whatever it's called. Go to Pro Wrestling Tees, Pro Wrestling Nation, and pick up yourself a Pro Wrestling Nation t-shirt. I would really appreciate it. Those t-shirts are awesome too. Designed by my homeboy. I'm looking for my email. I'm being distracted again. I mean, I'm buying time again from you guys, because I'm trying to stall. I'm trying to find an email. Here it is. So I am offering a discount on High Spots Network. Now, High Spots Network is something that I've been wanting to get for a little while myself. I don't have a Roku, but apparently you can. There's other ways to do it. And I'm really, really excited about this. So let me read you the little thing here. The High Spots Wrestling Network is proud to partner with Pro Wrestling Nation podcast to offer listeners 1 month free of High Spots Wrestling Network. Use the code PWN, all caps. New accounts will gain access to over 2,040 hours and counting of premium wrestling content. So picture this is the WWE Network, only this is High Spots. This isn't the WWE. This is High Spots. All their DVDs they have, their catalog of DVDs, their shoot interviews. Let me keep reading. The High Spots Network features top worldwide promotions such as PWG, Progress, Rev Pro UK, WXW, WSU. It also highlights many regional US promotions such as PWX, FIP, NEW, Queens of Combat, IWA, Mid-South, AAW, and many more. Subscribers will also find hours of shoot interviews featuring all the episodes of The Kevin Steen Show and Old School with Steve Corino. We also highlight the original content that High Spots producers, such as documentaries, Harley Race, Jim Crockett Promotions, Rock and Roll Express, and fan favorites like $5 Wrestling. Something for every wrestling fan can be found at HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com for the low price of $9.99 per month. Fans can stream hours of content to their mobile devices, tablet, PC, or stream on their TV through Roku. Check out High Spots Wrestling Network today. So if you would like to check out the High Spots Wrestling Network, which these people, the We Watch Wrestling group on Facebook is where I hang out a lot. I really like that group. And these people speak very highly of the High Spots Wrestling Network. They recommended it to me. I've asked about it, and they said, oh, yeah, it's well worth it. PWG is updated to about a year ago or so. So PWG is constantly being updated. Like, I would get $9.99 a month just to watch as much PWG as I could possibly handle. If you have never seen PWG, you are not a wrestling fan. I mean, that's not true. But if you've never seen PWG, you need to get your butt out there and see some PWG, because PWG is amazing. It's amazing. Also, I'm going to be featured in 2 weeks on a podcast on the Wrestlingus wrestling show, the Wrestlingus show. It's going to be a special presentation. It's kind of parental advisory is advised kind of thing, But it's me, it's another guy, and we just talk about stuff. We tell stories about our lives and about wrestling and about these guys over here. So that's going to be on iTunes under the Wrestlingus Show. And it's Wrestling Us, the Wrestlingus Show. And that's about it. That's all I have to plug right now. So I'm going to get out of here because I have to run. I have to jet. I had to fly. I got to get the heck out of here. Let's get ready to fly like AJ Styles. Anyways, folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you to Greg DeMarco for stopping by. Thank you for leaving me comments. And I keep playing with this pen. You can probably hear it. I'm sorry if it is bothering you. It's here. I'm playing with it. What can I do? All right, folks. Thank you very much. Have a great day, and I'll see you sometime soon. Peace.